I'm Pastor Myron Dom. At Northmark Church, we believe the Bible is God's holy word, given to us from God for our benefit. God's word gives us wisdom, direction, comfort, and conviction. As we expound His word verse by verse each week, we hope to encourage and give you insight as you walk one step behind Jesus. Thanks for listening.
Well, good morning, Northmark family. Would you take your copy of God's Word and open it with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. A little girl and her grandfather were preparing for an afternoon on a sailboat. The little girl asked, "Grandpa, what is the wind?" "I cannot explain the wind to you," the old sailor replied, "but I can teach you how to raise the sails." Our passage this morning shows us how to raise our sails, that we might catch the wind of the Holy Spirit. As the early followers of Jesus wait for the Holy Spirit's arrival in Acts chapter 1, they demonstrate an attitude that we need to imitate as we also wait on the filling of the Holy Spirit. You can summarize the attitude of the apostles as they waited in one word, the word expectancy. Expectancy. They were brimming with anticipation. They were ready, confident the Holy Spirit would come. Why? Because Jesus said so. They took a step of faith as they waited, a step that we need to take today. It's our next step. Say it with me. Expect the Holy Spirit to empower me. Let's say that again. Expect the Holy Spirit to empower me. Anticipate the Spirit's work in your life. Imagine what He could do through your life if you allowed Him. Be confident the Holy Spirit wants to empower you to lead a life that brings much glory to God. Expect the Holy Spirit to empower you. Be ready for Him. Let's pick up now with verse 12 of Acts chapter 1. Then they, that's the apostles, returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. Sabbath day's walk is about 2/3 of a mile, pretty short stroll. What were they thinking about as they slowly walked back to the city? They had just heard Jesus promise the coming of the Holy Spirit. They watched their Lord rise up in the air and disappear into a cloud. Two angels showed up and told them, "Get ready, it's going to happen, He'll come back." They had to be overcome with expectancy. Something good is on the horizon. Verse 13, when they arrived back in the city, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. The 11 remaining apostles went back to the upper room. Could this be the very same room in which they had observed the Lord's Last Supper? If so, the Holy Spirit would soon come in the same room in which Jesus had promised him. And said this in John's Gospel, chapter 14, where he said, "In that upper room, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you," how long, church? "Forever, the Spirit of Truth." It must have been a rather large room, because in verse 15 of Acts chapter 1, we find more than 120 people squeezed into that space. And we read at the end of verse 14, the apostles were there along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. The women were those that had so faithfully ministered alongside Jesus during his days of service. Along there with his mother was Mary Magdalene, Susanna, Joanna, Mary of Bethany, and of course her well-known sister Martha, who undoubtedly in that room was fussing around in a kitchen area. Jesus' brothers were also present there in the upper room. This is amazing, because during his earthly ministry, his siblings were antagonistic to him. But the crucifixion and the resurrection had evidently changed their minds. This whole gang of followers is huddled up there in that room waiting. Waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit and whatever else he would bring with him. We can learn from the followers of Jesus, gathered in the upper room as they waited. Because the waiting followers demonstrated, say it with me, expectant belief. Expectant belief. Do you find it difficult to wait? If so, raise your hand. Come on. Come on. Come on. Don't lie in church. Come on. Waiting is hard for us. Waiting tests our patience. Waiting challenges our convictions. Waiting on the Lord is particularly arduous, for it seems he always takes longer than we think he should. Often in hindsight, we learn to agree with him. Your timing was perfect. On the forefront, it tears us up. Waiting is hard. But if we're going to take this next step of expecting the Holy Spirit to empower us, we have to believe it even as we wait. You and I are saturated in a culture of immediate satisfaction. Some of you were old enough to remember the good old days when waiting was normal. It's not normal now. It's not normal at all. Social media trains us to expect immediate connection. Apps and Siri train us to expect immediate answers. Amazon is hoping to provide us with immediate deliveries, little drones that will come to our houses and drop our packages on our doorsteps for us. No more need for the post office. In fact, nearly every industry is leveraging the internet to meet our culture's demand for immediate results. Such immediate attention in all arenas of life tempts us to equate waiting with failure. If we have to wait too long, and any amount of waiting is too long, well, then we are immediately disappointed. Something's wrong. This has failed. This is not what I expected. You can't even be caused to wait an extra 2 minutes at a restaurant without getting a little tempted to be irritated. Why is it taking so long? We've been here 4 minutes. My friends, God makes us wait on purpose. He uses the discipline of waiting to strengthen our resolve. He makes us wait to deepen our commitment to Him. He makes us wait to broaden the surrender of control in our lives until He is Lord of all of me. Our Lord knows some necessary and valuable qualities can only be constructed in my life as he makes me wait and continue to believe as I wait. If we're going to raise the sails of our lives to catch the wind of the Holy Spirit, it will happen only as we have expectant belief, expecting the Holy Spirit to eventually empower us, believing he wants to, believing that if he does, we will live more like Jesus, believing the Holy Spirit is in us to accomplish the work the Lord has set out to accomplish in us, believing that we can do anything the Lord calls us to only because of the Holy Spirit's presence and empowering. We will not experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit's empowerment in our lives without expectant belief. Holy Spirit empowerment is not something reserved for super Christians. No, just the opposite. It is the expectation for every follower of Jesus to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you expect him to empower you? If you really believe him, if you trust him, if you obey him, if you wait on him. And that's the hard part. If you wait on him, he will empower you. We read in verse 14, they all joined together, constantly doing what, church? Say it with me, in prayer. As they waited in that upper room, they prayed. And they made decisions prayerfully. In verses 16 to 22, Peter brings up the need to replace the 12th member of the apostles, Judas Iscariot, who had committed suicide after serving as a guide for those who arrested Jesus. They needed to replace him with another who could serve as an apostle. Verse 23, so they proposed two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Justice. Don't confuse him with Barabbas. That was a bad guy that got let out when Jesus got crucified. Barsabbas is a good guy. And a guy named Matthias. Then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs. Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. From their example, we see the waiting followers demonstrated, say it with me, expectant prayer. Expectant prayer. Let's say that together. Expectant prayer. They expected our Lord to interact with them as they prayed, to guide the decisions of their lives as they prayed, to show them how to respond in every matter as they prayed. They prayed with expectation, which is precisely how Jesus had taught them and us to pray. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus takes us to school on how to pray. Look at verse 5 of Luke chapter 11. I'll read it to you. Jesus says, suppose one of you has a friend and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door's already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, Jesus continues, he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend. That's not enough. Yet because of the man's boldness, key word, because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Verse 9. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, say it with me, church, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. This is expectant prayer. This is boldly asking, seeking, and knocking. Let me repeat that. Prayer should look like us boldly asking and seeking and knocking. Jesus wants us to pray with expectancy. Verse 11, Jesus continues, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Expectant prayer becomes answered prayer, especially when your prayers consist of asking, seeking, and knocking on heaven's door for the filling of the Holy Spirit to enable you to lead a life pleasing to God. If there is a prayer that our God is eager to answer, it's the cry of the heart that says, Lord, empower me by your Spirit. Let me walk with the fullness of your Spirit into this situation, into my workplace, into my family situation. Lord, give me the fullness of your Spirit. The waiting followers showcase for us very clearly how to have the winds of the Spirit in your sails. Expectant belief. An expectant prayer. How much wind is in your sails? I recently watched a film entitled War Room. Can I recommend it to you? It clearly portrays expectant belief and expectant prayer. Clara, a widow, and this is a spoiler alert. If you don't want to know about the movie, plug your ears right now, okay? Spoiler alert. Clara, a widow who believes and prays with great expectation, befriends Elizabeth, a beleaguered young housewife and real estate agent who is working diligently to front an image of success. Elizabeth is there, presumably, to help Clara sell her home. Clara envisions Elizabeth as a younger woman desperately in need of spiritual help. Selling the house is secondary. Preparing to enjoy a cup of coffee together, as Clara prepares to sign the contract, Clara first asks Elizabeth about her marriage. She's married to a man named Tony, a seemingly successful young man who, unbeknownst to Elizabeth, is teetering on the edge of moral failure. He and Elizabeth fight like cats and dogs while they ignore their precious young daughter. But Elizabeth, responding to Clara's inquiry, covers up the reality of her failing family with a lame response to Clara. Well, we're okay, I guess. I mean, Tony is stressed and I'm stressed. All couples struggle. I'm sure it will work out. Clara rolls her eyes. She then asks Elizabeth about her prayer life. Is your prayer life hot or cold? Elizabeth bravely describes her prayer life as normal. It could be better, of course, but again, I'm doing okay. Clara then serves herself a steaming hot cup of coffee while handing Elizabeth a cup of coffee that has been sitting on her kitchen countertop all morning long. Elizabeth nearly chokes at the first swallow of room temperature coffee. Clara smiles and then says, "That's what God thinks of your prayers. They're not hot. God wants you to pray hot prayers, hot with expectancy, not mediocrity." Elizabeth is put out by this wily widow, but she's also intrigued. Who is this lady? How dare she speak to me like this? And yet, she's got something I need. Under Clara's tutelage, Elizabeth learns how to pray hot prayers. Prayers that are desperate. Prayers that are sincere. Prayers that are heartfelt. She takes baby steps of reading God's word and handwriting out verses that will guide her prayers. She tapes them on the side of a closet in her bedroom. She eventually removes all the shoes because they smell and the clothing out of this bedroom closet, and she turns it into what's called a war room, where on her face before God, she cries out to him about her life and how messed up it really is, and about her husband and the bad choices he's being led to make, and about their daughter who is lost in this quagmire. And as she prays, she learns expectant belief, believing that only God can change their marriage. Only God can stop her husband's heart from wandering. Only God can give her the grace to love him again. Only God can bring their child up in purity and security. As she learns expectant prayer, she takes God at his word. She reads this verse in James chapter 4. Say it with me. "Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." She prays this verse with intensity, believing the Lord will act, because she sees the devil's grip on her family and on her own life and marriage. She knows unless the Lord intervenes, we're lost. We're not going to make it. Believing the Lord, she comes to him in brokenness, humility, authenticity. And through a series of unexpected events, things only God can do, there is exposure of sin. There is repentance. There is forgiveness. There are consequences, and there is grace. There is renewed hope. And all along, there's a little old widow in another closet in a different house, praying expectantly and believing that God is in this, and he is able. Expectant belief and expectant prayer pave the way for the Holy Spirit to empower a lonely widow, a struggling wife, a tempted husband, an insecure child. When they each tried to make it on their own, they found themselves drowning. But when they believed and prayed and waited on the Lord, they received his empowerment. Are you willing to take our next step today? Expect, say it with me, expect the Holy Spirit to empower me. Let me ask you, and be honest before God. In fact, I invite you to kind of bow your heads with me so you're not distracted. Do you need a change in your life? Is there a relationship struggle? A situation at work? A health matter? Some financial stress? Something unraveling in your life that keeps you awake at night? Then take this next step, friend. Believe, pray, expect the Holy Spirit to empower you. The question you've got to answer is this: do I want Him to empower me, or will I keep trying to handle life all on my own? You tell Him right now. Jesus, we all know the burden of trying to handle life on our own. It wears us out. And when those attempts are accompanied by prayers, the temperature of room temperature coffee, no wonder you spit them out. No wonder the Holy Spirit doesn't get moving. No wonder we lay there and struggle and complain. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Have mercy on me. I pray for myself and for each of us that we would believe You. And we would pray to You. And we would expect the Holy Spirit to make the difference. There is not a problem here today, Lord, that is too much for You. There is not a situation as tied up and messed up as it might appear to us. There is not a single one that is too much for You. We don't need to work ourselves up into a frenzy. We need to simply wait on You and be humble, be desperate for You. We need to sit still and wait. Help us, Lord, to be ready even as we wait. Work in us, Lord. Accomplish Your purposes. Have Your way. Tear down our stubbornness. Grant us the grace we need that we might expect You, Holy Spirit, to empower us and make the difference. In Jesus' name, amen.
I hope this message from God's Word has encouraged you in your spiritual journey. On Sundays, we have an Inspire service at 9 a.m. in our fellowship hall and two Engage services in our sanctuary at 9:30 and 11. come by and visit us. You can also check us out on the web at northmarchurch.com or simply download the Northmar Church app to your device. We would be honored to serve you in any way we can. May the Lord give you an increased awareness of His presence in your life.